don't always start our day expecting that it will shape the rest of our lives. Lake Effect essayist Jerry Huffman certainly didn't expect that a couple of years ago.
It took me a while to figure out why, but February has become my month for reflection, a time to take stock and think. It's not the lure of spring. That's still too many weeks away for most of Wisconsin. While pitchers and catchers head to spring training, I still climb, zip, and snap into everything I own to take our chocolate lab, Misha, for a cold, lung-numbing walk. The real reason is personal. 2 years ago today, February the 6th, 2011, I almost died. A tiny clot about the size of a grain of rice broke loose and played bumper cars on its way up my brainstem. It set off a Wallenberg stroke, a statistically rare and often devastating stroke. One moment, I was a stressed-out, overworked, overweight professional. In the next, Wally left me gasping for air, nearly incapable of swallowing and unable to walk. My wife, Carol, remembers me calling for help in a voice she had never heard before. Misha was flipping out, and I had collapsed into a living room chair clutching my iPhone. It was like I was trying to app my way out of the problem. Somehow, my much smarter other half got me into the car and headed for help. We lived more than 20 miles from the nearest hospital, and she knew I didn't have time to wait for a rural ambulance. In the first hours, I had no idea what was going on. The biggest surprise was that there was no pain. None. The average 55-year-old desk jockey is supposed to grab his chest and fall over as life fades to black. In spite of the fact it felt like the right side of my body was trying to divorce the left, I thought I was okay. Through it all, Carol was the picture of calm as we put up with endless questions from the on-duty Doogie Howser in the ER. Carol's calmness gave me permission to be terrified. Then things got truly weird. Wallenberg strokes have a way of throwing the body's electrical system into chaos. In my case, my heart shut down, repeatedly. It didn't dawn on me until much later that I was likely in the middle of my own death. The lowest pulse rate I remember seeing on the monitor was in the 20s, and then I blacked out. I woke up to a herd of medicos leaning over my bedside. Then my heart rate would drop again. I was riding the ultimate emotional roller coaster. Okay, I'm breathing, and then my entire being would slam into dead man's curve and my heart would shut down. Each time, gratefully, I awoke to even more white coats staring at me. After a week in the hospital, I could take a few steps with a walker. The lovely one, who had already earned her St. Merit badge, became my caretaker, a 24/7 role she didn't deserve but took on with more patience than I imagined possible. Carol was 6 months into her retirement when my recovery became the center of both of our lives. Our days became a blur of PT appointments. We celebrated the day we returned my walker, and there were plenty of days when we cried together. Looking back, the unexpected silver lining was that we found our way back to each other. Like millions of other baby boomers, we had given our lives to our careers, often at the expense of our relationship. But in this new reality, everything was different. Friends and families amazed us with their kindness. Bless you, big sister. While others acted like we were both contagious. I left a soul-draining job, and Carol started writing again, her real calling. We had to cut expenses to the bone. As career television professionals, we both knew much of what was on the air was awful, so why spend more than $100 a month for bad TV? Instead, we turned the Nuglaris Woods State Park into our personal outdoor recovery center. Initially, I couldn't do more than a few steps from the car. My borrowed cane was eventually banished to the trunk, but we kept it handy as a wooden security blanket. I was getting stronger, but our new financial reality was frightening. I wasn't bringing in any money. Carol was looking for her voice, and we were living on our own fiscal cliff. Yet the oddest thing was, we were happy. 2 years later, life is good. I feel awesome. We traded the big country house for a suburban condo and a promise to never shovel snow again. The novel is nearly finished, and she hopes to be pitching publishers by spring. Although the idea of opening my own business still makes me break out in a cold sweat, I'm bringing in enough clients to pay the bills. The staff is me and the dog, but we're doing good work for good people. I've lost about half the weight I should. It's a daily fight and will be for the rest of my life. Gratitude doesn't come close to describing what I owe Carol. I thank God for my medical family, and every bad golf shot is just one more chance to laugh at myself. Today, if anyone asks about the stroke, I will tell them about the positives that came from nearly dying. But above all, the one thing I will tell them is that I found my happy.
Lake Effect essayist Jerry Huffman is a former Milwaukee television producer. Since leaving Milwaukee, he's taught journalism in Soviet Central Asia, caddied for Bill Murray in a golf tournament, and now has his own public relations company in Fitchburg. Coming up next, an in-studio performance by and a chat with Canadian singer-songwriter Jen Grant. That's when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.